Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am your host, Ben Heck.
And I am Jason Jones.
So, E3 has come and gone in America.
And did anybody notice?
Well, sure they did. It was all over the news for 1 week.
Oh, okay.
So E3 is quite the event. We thought we would share with you some of our E3 stories because we actually went to E3 6 years ago. And I'm sure nothing has changed. So the big things at E3 this year were new halfway consoles, VR and VR, and also VR.
And a Zelda game, I guess.
Oh yeah, Breath of the Wind. Which will come out on the Wii U, apparently. So it's just going to be like Twilight Princess, where they have it kind of half and half.
Yep.
Yeah. Which kind of tells you that the NX is probably not going to be that powerful.
Yes. Or it'll be backward compatible on some level.
Hmm.
Like, who knows? Maybe it'll just be kind of a port, almost. I don't know.
Well, the Wii was an overclocked GameCube, and then the Wii U is three Wiis duct taped together. They never make that big of a leap. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what it is. Nobody knows yet. And Sony also didn't announce. Well, they've confirmed PlayStation 4.5, but they haven't shown it yet.
Yeah.
But Microsoft sure talked about Scorpio.
Yes. And an Xbox Slim, I guess, which will do more than a regular Xbox, apparently.
I guess that is something we'll have to talk about in today's episode. So we're going to discuss our reactions on E3 2016 and also share some of our E3 stories. So you've probably seen E3 on the interweb tubes, but we're going to tell you what it's really like because we don't give a shit. Right, Jones?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, so shall we start with our E3 stories or should we start with the E3 news?
Let's start with E3 news, because maybe it'll just lend itself to story time along the way.
Well, we can talk about the Nintendo Strip Club booth.
Yes. That's the main thing I remember from it.
Well, it smells like a carpet factory.
Yes.
Everything is new carpet. Well, we'll get to that later.
And you don't get to play any of the cool shit, so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of lines.
Yes. But anyway.
All right, so shall we start with Sony or Xbox or Nintendo?
Probably Xbox, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what did Sony really... I guess Sony announced, like, God of War, a new God of War and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Now he's in Nordic. He's a Nordic
God of
War. Yeah,
he's going to fight, like, the Norse gods, I guess.
Well, I guess he killed all the Greek gods.
Yeah. He's just got to keep mowing them down until he runs out of gods, I guess.
He's like, I need to find new gods.
He's like, oh, here's some.
But how does he jump like thousands of years into the future? And he has a son now? I guess he had a kid before, but then he killed his wife or something.
Yeah. I can't remember what the hell all went down.
Oh, but he has a beard now.
Oh, well, that's good.
And of course, it's just called God of War. Because...
Oh, they didn't call it God of War 4?
Nope.
Because they're basically rebooting.
All video games, they just, you know, God of War. Yes. So movies, they'll either put the in front of it or remove the. It's like there was a Fast and Furious. You know how none of the Fast and Furious sequels, no one knows what they're actually called?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of them was Fast and Furious.
Yeah, because they dropped the does.
The does.
Yep. I think that was the fourth one, I want to say.
Yeah, because the other one was Fast 5.
Because the fourth one was where he goes, pussy, at the end. Runs into that guy.
It take an entire team of Harvard scientists. Well, no, because you can pretty much. I mean, now it's like Fast 5, Fast 6, Fast 7, and you know they're not trying to confuse people. It's like, okay, fast and a number. Oh, that's a number that is higher than the previous number movie I saw.
Yes,
it's like PlayStation 4. Like you know exactly what it is. Whereas, do you even think Stephen Hawking could sort the Resident Evil movies?
Probably not.
First there was Resident Evil, then Revelations, then... What is it? They had
It's kind of like Assassin's Creed games, too. You know, sometimes they have a number, sometimes they don't.
I don't think they've had a number since Part 3.
Well, Black Flag was technically Assassin's Creed 4,
Black
Flag.
Then they had
Flag.
Unity and Revolution or
Revelations.
They're all like just blurring together.
And they had Brotherhood way back. That was the first one that they made that wasn't numbered.
I miss numbers.
Yeah. Well, that's like now with your the thing. Like the internet seems to be trying as hard as it can to make sure that the standalone Batman movie is called The Batman.
That's what it'll be called.
I'm sure it will. So, which, I mean, it works. So, but yeah.
So what are some rebooted movies that you could put the in front of that would sound really stupid? Oh, what about the Last Samurai?
There you go. Well, no, you would just call it Last Samurai.
Oh,
now.
Right. Goonies instead of The Goonies.
They could have called the Independence Day sequel The Independence Day.
Did you see that video clip of the guy in England basically quoting Independence Day?
No.
After
the
vote
thing happened?
He was like,
Brexit.
This day will go down as our Independence Day. It was almost like...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I was like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, wait, because about a week ago, I'm like, wait, Independence Day Resurgence is not coming out on Independence Day.
Yeah.
But maybe they knew something we didn't.
Mm.
Hashtag conspiracy theory.
Roland Emmerich knew what was up.
He's part of the Illuminati that planned the whole thing.
There you go.
So going back to the names of these consoles. So you have the Xbox. Well, Microsoft just can't seem to count. So you had Windows 7, 8, 10.
Yeah. And which there was a reasonable explanation for that.
Oh, you should tell us what the reasonable explanation is, why there wasn't Windows 9.
I think I have before, but I will do it again, because that's what we do. We like to be redundant.
We like to waste people's time.
The theory, at least, I don't know if it was ever officially confirmed, is that basically there's all sorts of legacy code out there that looks for operating system like Windows 9%, something along those lines. So
Windows 9 wildcard.
Yeah, and so it would...
Which would be 95 or 98.
Yes, so basically a bunch of...
but not Windows
old
me.
Applications would think that they were Windows 9 then or something and heard that they're running on it and whatever. Who knows? Shenanigans would have ensued. Probably,
and now that Windows is Windows 10, it will never get past 10. Just like Apple OS X. Apple OS X dates back to like 2001.
Yeah, it's been in there for a long time, so it's the last OS.
Oh, I watched that Steve Jobs movie. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Except for Kate
Winslet's
accent, which was
the end was crap.
The end.
It has this like stupid like happy ending tacked on with his daughter.
Oh,
at
with
the
his
end.
Daughter. Yeah.
Like the stuff where they get into it and kind of argue and fight and stuff, that was good. But then it's just like, oh, then everything's just happy. Like in the last like 2 or 3 minutes, everything's fine.
And Seth Rogen's Steve Wozniak did not age, apparently.
No. Why would he have to?
He's an immortal god.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie. I liked the kind of the concept behind it. You know, it's more like a play almost. And it's got like, you know, it's just set at these three product launches. And it the structure worked well. And Fassbender was like phenomenal in it. He should have got Best Actor. Fuck DiCaprio's bullshit Oscar bait.
DiCaprio had to get Best Actor because DiCaprio.
I know. It was just like when The Departed won Best Picture. It's like, well, Scorsese's got to win one of these someday. But yes.
That's why they called it Windows 10.
Yes.
Mind
and at least
blown.
It's a number.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, 10 is greater than 8 and 7 that came before.
I don't know if it's greater than 7.
Well, numerically, it's greater.
Oh, yeah. See, we're recording this on a Windows 7 and a Windows 10 computer at the moment.
Oh, boy. I'm on
know.
The Windows just... 7 machine.
Didn't you convert your computer to Windows 10?
Both of them.
Oh, yeah. You have a Surface now as well.
Well, that's my work machine. But yeah, at home, I've got a laptop, which I never use, but I updated it just to update it. And then... my gaming PC, it was like last fall, probably a month or two after Windows 10 came out, and I just came home one day and I had Windows 10.
They installed it under your nose. A lot of people are upset about that.
I wasn't upset because it's like, you know what? I logged in, everything worked. It was just fine. You know, obviously, yeah. I knew what to expect, I guess, with the OS, where somebody who's used to their Windows 7 or whatever machine, you know, they'd probably be a little surprised when they see the new interface. But
isn't that upgrade going to end in a month, or maybe I have a feeling that it won't, actually.
It's pretty upgrade. Soon, because it was basically like a year from the launch, and it launched, God, was it late July or August?
I think it was July last year.
So yeah, it's maybe a month to go, which is why they're pushing it really hard.
I like Windows 10 a lot better than Windows 8. That's like saying I like being healthy a lot more than cancer.
Is it really that dramatic of a comparison?
Windows 8 was not... But I don't know if I really want all my computers to have Windows 10. Because there's some things about it that suck. Like quick access. You can't rename the things in it. You know, like we can drag commonly used folders over to the quick access. Or it's called favorites in Windows 7.
Yeah.
So if I drag over a network folder, it's stuck as like 10.9.00. You know, whatever its network name is. You can't rename IP. It. You can on 7, but not on 10.
Oh.
So stuff like that bugs me.
Okay.
Also the fact that on Windows 7, you can hit the start button, and right there is devices and printers. Like, yes. For me, that's useful because I want to see, like, oh, I plugged this thing in. What COM port did it go to?
Okay.
For, you know, doing hardware stuff, that's useful for me. In Windows 10, it's a few extra steps. Although, I guess I could just...
Can you pin it?
Yeah, let me see if I can pin it. Devices. How do you spell devices? Devices and printers. Okay, so can I pin this? So I'm trying this in real time while... I can't pin.
Wait. You're gonna get the unfiltered truth right here.
Yeah, well, we're gonna tell you the unfiltered truth about E3 as well. Oh, all control. Okay, let's see if I can click and drag this. So I'm gonna open up this stupid live tile crap, and let me see. So this is the unfiltered real truth.
This is every day for Ben. He just sits here and
sees what
curses
I can do.
Surface Book.
Pin to start menu. Oh wait, what? No.
You should be able to pin to the taskbar or your start menu.
Pin to start. Okay, let's see what happens. Okay, now I'm going to go on to start. And it is where? Where is it? I want it to be like one of these tiles.
It should be one of your tile things.
I don't... Oh, wait, maybe I have to scroll down? There it is! Okay, I'm going to move it up here. Oh, that's actually kind of cool.
Oh,
look at... No, okay, yeah.
We've got a convert.
Ba-doom! Devices and printers. Okay, that's kind of cool.
So do you want to revise your comparison?
Well, when you install Windows 10 and you hit the start button, everything over on these live tiles is a bunch of crap, like about Missy Elliott and the Oakland Raiders. Like, I don't care about that crap.
And, like, Solitaire and
shit. Yeah, Solitaire and, like, MSNBC or, you know, whatever. And it's like...
But you can easily customize it, so...
Yeah, so maybe I should do that more. My main thing with computers is, like, I want to do what I want to do as fast as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Make it a tool. So we've spent 15 minutes, and we haven't even talked about video games yet. Welcome to the BenHeck.com podcast.
Riveting.
A magical world of wonder awaits.
See, we could have just been bitching about movies that whole time.
I haven't seen a single movie this year in theaters.
Do you think you will?
I don't know. I just am not interested in films this year. I'll probably go see Rogue One, because Star Wars.
I really like the music in the trailer for that. Like, it's got the John Williams thing to it, but it's altered a bit. It's got kind of this darker tone to it, which is kind of cool. And you get to see AT-ATs on a beach. Or I guess they're at ACTs now. But yes.
Hashtag at.
At act, I guess these things
at
are.
At Admiral Akbar.
They're really poorly named because it's like, who's going to sit there and go at act? Like, it just doesn't roll off your tongue. So.
Well, someone wanted to change it enough to make a new toy so then get points off every toy sold. That's how it works.
It's the same reason why there's a new, like, Stormtrooper whatever.
Or like in Batman and Robin, why they have three different costumes is because they can sell three different toys that way. So maybe we should talk about E3.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Okay.
We'll get back to your movie dilemma.
It's not really a dilemma. It's just weird. So I know I like movies. I don't watch as many as you do, but I like movies. And I remember it was 2000 was probably the year that I saw the least movies in my adult life. Like, I think I only saw I only went to see 4 movies that year, and this year I've seen 0 so far.
Yeah, me.
I don't know. No one's like. I didn't even see Deadpool. Like, my mom probably even saw Deadpool. Well, she probably didn't.
I didn't see Deadpool until video.
Worth watching?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's definitely overhyped, but it's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I've all seen in the theater. I saw Batman v Superman like 3 times. I saw Warcraft. What was the other? I saw Civil War.
This microphone kind of smells like a car shop.
Well, that's no good.
No.
Actually, that's not bad. Depends what part of the car shop it smells
like. Not a bad car shop.
Oh, okay. So I've only seen...
What else is even coming out? Like Ghostbusters and Star Trek?
Yeah.
I mean, they load all the movies into May, and then it's done.
And I saw X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah, Suicide Squad's probably the next... I mean, I might see the Star Trek... I don't know, but Suicide Squad's probably the next one, and then who knows after that. I'm sure there'll be, like, Oscar bait type stuff that'll come out later in the year that I'll be interested in. But
like the King's Speech 2?
Well, it would just be King's Speech this time.
Oh, after, yeah, remove. The the Schindler's List.
So, but yeah, there's not a lot to get excited about. Excited about out there, I guess, at this point.
I mean, I watched Whiplash.
Well, that's good. It's got J.K. Simmons in it.
Oh, I just remembered I had that Star subscription on Amazon that I never use.
Yeah, I realized that the other day, too.
And Netflix. That's why I watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, because it's like, oh, here's a movie that gets good ratings. I guess I should use my Netflix to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I get home... from work, I make some food, and it's like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, if I watch a movie, it's like, then it's like 9 or 10 o'clock, and like, then I should go to bed.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like movies just take too much time to watch.
Let's think a lot of times what I'll do is I'll just put it on as like background noise while I'm doing something else.
But I only do that with movies or things I've seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'll throw Mad Men on in the background and kind of sort of rewatch it again while I'm like, you know, doing other stuff. But. Yeah, I watched Love and Mercy. That's on Amazon. I don't know if that's part of the Stars thing or not, but it's about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Oh.
That was actually really good. It's got like John Cusack and Elizabeth Banks and Paul Dano. And it kind of shows him when he's younger recording Pet Sounds, and then like later in his life when the psychiatrist guy is kind of like controlling his life and all that stuff. So it was a pretty good movie. It's not E3, though, but it was a pretty good movie. We'll get back to E3 here, I guess.
Yeah. So. Okay, so they announced the Xbox One S, because now apparently you just tack an S on the end of your product name.
Yeah, thanks, Apple.
Okay, so it's a smaller Xbox One, which I think is smart. Like, yes. Physically, the size of that console is not attractive.
Yeah, it looks like a big brick sitting there, basically.
So a lot of people are like... will it overheat if it gets smaller? And the answer is no. The PlayStation 4 is, for all intents and purposes, the same machine. And the heatsink inside of that is half the size of the one in the Xbox One. Microsoft just put a giant heatsink on it because they were being very cautious.
Yeah, that's what happens when you write off $1 billion.
Exactly. And then you spend $26 billion on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that, and I'm like, I don't get it.
Did you know $26 billion is more than the market cap for ARM?
Wow.
Why not just buy ARM?
Yeah.
Then guess what? You are the winner,
yes,
of the cell phone war. Shit, buy Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that, and apparently they're trying to use LinkedIn as a means to leverage like Office more. I mean, I guess it fits into their cloud thing, but I don't know, it seemed like a really weird buy to me.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You could have bought Star Wars, like, what, seven times for that? Seven or eight times?
Yeah, because that was like $4 billion is all that Disney spent on that.
That is like, that's the acquisition of a decade.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like Disney's smart or something.
I still remember when that got announced, and people were like, oh my God, $4 billion. It's like, that's a freaking bargain.
I'm surprised it was that cheap, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, I mean, they've probably made their money back already, or damn close. Off like one movie and all the merchandising and everything.
Yeah.
Probably with Rogue One, they'll have no trouble going into the black.
Yeah, because Force Awakens, I mean, it still did really well overseas, but it didn't do like Titanic well or Avatar well.
But it established it overseas, which will help them for the next movies.
Yeah, like in China, you know, which is like the Holy Land now for movies, I guess, didn't do that great, which is strange. And they removed Finn from the cover of the poster.
Yeah. Yeah, Warcraft, like, trounced it in China. That was interesting to see its performance in China. Like, it was the fastest movie ever to, like, $135 million.
Wasn't it, like, half of the remaining WoW players are in China?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's probably a lot newer over there. I'm sure they haven't had it for 12 years like we have.
That could be. Yeah, because it's not even going to make $50 million in the U.S., but it's probably going to end up making, like, $400-something globally.
Damn, so it'll probably make money.
Yeah, because it's made over $200 just in China.
So, Xbox.
Yes.
You know,
Seems like we like to talk about movies, huh?
Yeah, we do. We should just make this the movie podcast. Well, I think I might actually buy the Xbox One S, because I could, like, make it into a laptop or something.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll buy two of them and just have one of them to keep. Cause
it looks nice. Like,
yeah,
the pictures,
it's smaller.
Of it. Yeah.
And I guess they changed the controller again, which means I want to know what the controller is going to be like, you know, if we make controllers.
Yeah, I was a little curious about that, too.
Because they already changed it once. They added the headphone jack back in.
Oh, did they?
Yes, they did. That happened about a year ago.
Oh.
Because they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this stupid extra adapter we made for the headphone jack. The PlayStation 4 doesn't have that, and people like it better.
Because people already have headphones.
Even though we live in a world where apparently, like, the iPhone, the next one, might not have a headphone jack.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. Do that many people actually, like, put headphones into their iPhones?
Well, they probably don't, which is why they're looking at getting rid of it. Cause
yeah, they're like, oh, we can make it a little bit thinner, because it obviously needs to be thinner. Yeah, so I think it's kind of cool that they're making a slightly smaller Xbox. But there's something kind of dumb about it. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things dumb about it. So it's like, okay, this thing will have 4K output.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
It does.
But it won't.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you can get into it, because I read something and I was confused by it. So.
Right, so the Xbox One S, which is basically just a slimmed-down Xbox, will have 4K HDMI. Well, here's the thing, like, in order to have a 4K HDMI signal, you need HDMI 2.0.
Okay.
And I don't think either the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 had HDMI 2.0. I believe it's probably like 1.3.
Wow, really?
Yeah, HDMI 2.0 came out after those consoles. Like, when I bought my 4K TV, I made damn sure it had HDMI 2.0, because you need that to support 4K input.
Okay.
Just like how the original Xbox didn't have an HDMI port. Remember, it was just composite, or component, I should say. And then the Xbox Elite, you know, added HDMI. Like, here's another way to output the same signal. But as far as the 4K goes, I mean, think about it. Like, there's no reason you couldn't render a 4K screen with that hardware. You're just not going to be able to render a 4K game.
Yes.
I mean, there's enough RAM to render 4K. So if you, like, let's say you had Netflix. Like, oh, okay, now we can offer 4K Netflix streaming. And the big one is the Xbox One S will also allow you to watch 4K Blu-rays.
Okay.
I don't know why they're even bothering making those, but those are a thing.
Yeah.
You're a Blu-ray fiend. How do you feel about that?
I think we might have touched on this before, but yeah, it's like, it seems like the sort of thing, if there was anybody who would be interested in it, it would be me. But it's like, I go to Best Buy and I see that they want like $30 at a minimum for every single one of these movies, and I'm just like, fuck that.
Here's the thing. Like, I have a 4K TV and there's very little 4K content to watch.
Yeah.
I just bought it because I'm like, what the hell? But if I look at it and I'm like, oh, this is a 2K broadcast, I can't see the pixels.
Well, that's the
thing. Why do I need 4K?
Well, that's the thing. It's like the only way you probably could ever tell a difference is if you had two identical setups sitting next to each other playing them. And then if you really scrutinized them, you might be able to tell.
I read an article. It was about the human perception. And I think it's like foot degrees is like how they measure the human's eye resolution. It's something like that. It's in basically in degrees. And like once you sit back, if you sit more than 4 or 5 feet from your television, the human eye basically is unable to discern between 4K and 2K because we literally cannot, well, not literally, we can't see it.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of different. Like if you're at a movie theater, I mean, as I've probably, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show before, but a lot of movie theaters are only 2K projection.
Yeah.
I mean, the resolution is actually not any better than your standard high definition television. Some of the projectors are 4K. Movies are usually mastered in 4K, but yeah. So there are theaters out there projecting an image that has less resolution than your cell phone. But if they can get away with it,
yeah,
why do you need 4K in your home? I mean, that's the way to look at it. Now, granted, like that IMAX, you know, that I now despise in Pittsburgh. I can see the pixels because it's right up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit. That should have more resolution.
Yeah.
However, my TV at home, I just can't see the pixels. So, I mean, you have like the current generation of consoles, Xbox One and PlayStation 4, that if they're really lucky, they can get to 1080. 1080, 30 frames a second. I don't think no game is doing 1080, 60 frames a second. So instead of like giving us better fidelity or a higher frame rate, they're going to quadruple the resolution. It's like, is that really the best way to spend the power?
Yeah, which is something we're not really going to get the value out of.
Now, if you're Sony and, you know, you love Blu-ray because you invented it, yes, you want a reason to push people toward 4K Blu-rays, 4K televisions. I think that's what it's mostly about for Sony.
Yeah.
Also money.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, like, let's say it's like, oh, we can make a beefier PlayStation 4. Normally, you'd shrink the die. Like, oh, we have this existing technology. We can make it smaller so it is cheaper. It uses less heat. I'm sure with that one, they're like, oh, we could shrink the die and improve performance and at the same cost.
Yeah.
But we make it PlayStation 4.5 so we can keep the price higher. So people need to remember, Sony as a corporation, not the PlayStation 4, as a corporation is not doing well.
Mm-mm.
And if they can keep the price of the PlayStation 4 higher, they're going to do it. Same thing with the Xbox One S. I mean, I think it's like jumps back up to $300 or $400.
Yeah, I think so. Like $350 maybe something. I don't know.
Because I'm sure you noticed this. Last generation, like how slowly the prices came down.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crawl.
Like, oh, yeah.
What did the Xbox get down to? Like maybe $200? Like neither console got below $200,
did they? Oh, like the 360?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have got to $200.
But remember like the PlayStation 2, that got down to like, what, $80 at the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely the longest not only was it the longest console generation, but the prices also shrunk at the slowest rate. Because, yep. I mean, it used to be in the old days, like by the time the Nintendo was done, you could buy it for like $50. Or the mm-hmm. Sega Genesis was like $60. And now, well, of course, the big thing, you had Sony spent billions on Cell, and it was basically used for nothing besides PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
And Microsoft spent billions on the Red Ring of Death. So that was one of the reasons they dragged that console generation out as far as they did.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, so the thing that I think is dumb about 4K on the Xbox One S, the only thing that's going to be 4K are the Blu-rays and, like, Netflix. The thing is, like, if you have a 4K TV, that means you bought your TV in the last 2 or 3 years. It's already going to have Netflix and whatnot built in.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't. Why do I need that? And let me tell you, I know I've said this before, but smart TV is awesome. Having that crap built into your TV.
Oh yeah.
Is awesome.
Someday I will experience that for myself.
But you know, I think the best thing about it is that they're basically making it smaller. It just makes it more desirable.
Yeah, and it's white now, right?
Yes.
To help differentiate it, I guess.
Yeah, so that's the deal with the Xbox One S. I think it comes out next month. But yeah, it's like it's not really that much cheaper. It's like, shouldn't it be cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of like the Neo thing in a way. It's like, is that thing going to compel like any existing owners to buy it? I mean, I'm sure there'll be some people that will.
Oh, everyone on YouTube will buy it so they can bitch about it. I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to buy it.
Sounds about right.
I just think the developers aren't going to like it. It was like, oh, great, we have two targets for every console now. Yeah. And they're like, oh, don't worry, there won't be exclusive Neo or Scorpio games. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Read my lips.
Yeah, it's like once you see like Neo sales take off and the old 4 stagnate, drop off, whatever, same thing with the Scorpio, whatever it's going to be, it's like they'll start targeting content for them. Don't you worry about it.
If you think about it, people are complaining about this halfway generation, but really we should be on the next generation already.
Yeah.
By a 5-year cycle.
Yeah, because like, we took too long to get to the current one. Yeah.
There should have been a 2010, 2015 generation, and yeah, we should be on the next gen already, but we're not. So I think these consoles are kind of a reflection of that.
Well, the thing, too, is it's just like technology just moves so damn fast nowadays. It's just not really even feasible to make something like this and have it last 5 years. I mean, what other consumer tech lasts 5 years?
Well, they used to, but now everyone's used to getting a new cell phone every 2 years or 18 months, so they've been trained.
Yeah.
But then that's why you have computers last longer than that, and their sales are in the toilet. TVs last longer than that, their sales are in the toilet. It's like you can't compete with the $600 device that's subsidized that people buy every 2 years or they break.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you break your TV?
Yeah.
But you break cell phones all the time. It's like it's a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the consoles are kind of over. And like you see Microsoft already like talking about this cross buy. It's like, oh, if you buy this on what is it? Xbox.
Yeah, you'll get the Windows 10.
The Windows 10 version.
And vice versa, I think. Because, I think, what is it, the new Gears of War and the new Forza, I think, are both going to support that. And they're also going to have, cross-play with them, too, apparently. So, you could co-op play with, you could be on your PC, I could be on the Xbox, and we could play the same game together. I mean, honestly, it's about time, with that sort of stuff.
I mean, really, even if, I don't know, Microsoft should just make it a game as service. I have a feeling that
that's where they're going, I think.
I don't think they're going to be in hardware forever. I don't think their shareholders are going to want them to.
Well, their CEO, his whole thing is cloud. That's his big mantra. Everything, like Office, he was the one that came in and was smart about that. He's like, you know what? Our mobile devices, they're not, they're not the market leaders. So what are we going to do? We're going to put Office on iOS and we're going to put it on Android.
Yep.
And, then we're going to sell Office 365 subscriptions to these people and, make money that way. And
I have a subscription to that.
Yeah.
Everybody's great. I can hook it up to 5 computers. It's really easy. It's a lot easier to use than Adobe Creative Cloud.
Yeah, so, but that's their big push, so I could totally see them going that way where, like you say, you've got your smart TV, you've got a Netflix app on there eventually. There's going to be just an Xbox app, which we've talked about forever, that with Xbox, the killer app with Xbox is Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And so it's basically that will just become Xbox.
And PC gaming is doing better than ever.
Yeah.
If Microsoft was smart and they wanted to bury some hatchets, they should have Steam pre-installed on Windows.
Mm.
That could heal some wounds.
Yeah.
Although it seems like nobody likes these Steam boxes either, the Linux boxes. It's like, if you play games on PC, you want Windows. You don't want Linux. It's like, what are the two things PC gamers don't want? Controllers and Linux. Let's give them that.
Yeah.
But, they basically did that as retaliation against the Windows Store.
Yeah.
Because, the Windows Store is bundled with Windows. But the thing is, nobody cares about the Windows Store.
Yeah.
And everyone loves Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could combine them. Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I want to play. Because, finishing Uncharted 4, all it made me do is want to play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes. I could see that.
Kind of ironic.
I haven't even played Uncharted 4 yet.
Oh, we should definitely talk about Uncharted 4.
But, I wonder what Valve's market cap is. Microsoft.
They're a private company. Nobody knows.
Microsoft could have just went and bought them.
Yeah, which would be kind of ironic because Valve was started by an ex-Microsoft employee.
There you go.
Well, anyway, I was going to say, I saw something on YouTube. They're talking about Rise of the Tomb Raider when it came to PC,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it did pretty well. I think it sold a million copies the first week. But then that was also a universal Windows platform game.
Okay.
Have you heard about that? Universal Windows platform, that's kind of what they're pushing. That's what allows games to work on the Xbox One and Windows 10.
Ah, okay. I gotcha.
So if you went into the Windows Store, you go into the Windows Store right now and you could buy Rise of the Tomb Raider through the store.
Okay.
So something like, what did they say? 1 million units sold, of which it was either a percentage or a number, something like 30,000 of those were Universal Windows platform bought through the store. So like a half of a percent. It was like it's, horrible, horrible percentage.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas Steam, the sales were probably far, far greater.
Yeah, Steam was like 99.5% of the sales on Windows.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure, you know, the problem with that, Microsoft was like, oh, we want that 30% of every sale. Mm-hmm. And Valve's like, no, we get that 30% of the sale.
Well, it's the same reason why EA made Origin.
Yep.
You know?
If making this service is less than paying 30% of the sale to Valve, then make Origin so people can play Battlefield 1. I don't know. I just have a feeling Battlefield 1 is going to kind of underwhelm.
It probably will.
It looks really, like, it looks cool, but it's just going to feel like kind of empty and open, and
they should have just called it War Horse.
Is there a horse in it?
Yeah, I want to say I saw horses in the trailer. So
that'd be cool if, like, there's, you know, start around, there's a bunch of horses standing there and you jump on it. I just hope they make it fun again.
Yeah, that's the core thing they need to find, is that fun element. It's like we've said for however long now, it's like, just make freaking Bad Company 3. It's all you gotta do.
Yeah. Well, I'll get Battlefield 1, but until I play it, I'm just going to assume it's, I don't know.
Yeah, don't go in expecting Bad Company 3, you know.
I mean, I just want smaller maps and more fun, and I don't want to have to run for a minute just to die. You know, I want to have fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So, Xbox Scorpio was also announced. 10 seconds after announcing Xbox One S, they announced the Xbox Scorpio.
Is this the first time a company has announced two consoles at the same...
Two competing consoles.
Yes.
It's like, but, well, that's pretty cool, right? Well, don't buy it because we have a replacement coming out next year.
Now, of course, you can say it was kind of nice of Microsoft to do that for the consumer, because now you could make an educated choice and not go off and buy your Slim not knowing that in a year and a half there's going to be this other console, and then get pissed off when the new console comes
out. Well, kind of makes you wonder how much more are these new consoles going to be if the price is, like, what's a PlayStation 4? Is it $300 or $350?
I think it's $350.
So it's only come down $50.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how much more are these new consoles going to cost? I mean, if there was a significant drop in the old consoles, then people would still buy them.
Yeah, yeah. Because even before, like back when the PS3 came out, you know, people still bought PS2s, but there was a sizable price gap between them also. So
can't you get Xbox One packages now for a song, since that stuff was announced?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I wouldn't look be surprised.
Online. I think there was like bundles for like $280.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, let's see. Wow, the internet's really slow here today. Maybe Max is uploading footage.
How dare he?
Yeah, I know. How dare he do his job?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Name your game bundle. $280.
Wow. That's on Amazon?
Yes. That's a great price.
No commission.
I wonder what game you can get. Let's see what game you can choose.
So
more
big
online
thing,
shopping.
So what was their big thing with Scorpio? Was what, like 6 teraflops or whatever the hell bullshit?
Yeah, never heard teraflops used in gaming before. That's interesting. I'm sure all of that refers to the GPU, not the CPU.
Yeah.
What game do you get with this?
There's probably one that has like Forza with it, and there's probably one that's got Halo, whatever.
The no, this one you can choose your game.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. Well, it looks like Rise of the Tomb Raider is one of them.
Nice.
Oh, here we go. Forza 6, Rise of the Tomb Raider, The Tomb Raider Rises, Origins, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, or that rare replay thing.
Oh.
That's a pretty good price.
Yeah.
Especially if the new console's $400. Let's see if it's up for pre-sale yet. Today in the Ben Heck Show, we're going to browse around on the internet and put shortcuts. I'm putting a shortcut into my start folder. Let's see.
Because he had the Slim.
Oh, actually, yes. It's $300 for the 500 gigabyte S, One S.
Oh, that's right, because they have a 2 terabyte one that's $400, I believe.
So it's the same price, basically.
And actually, if you think about that, that's not too bad. I mean, I bought my Xbox One. It came with a 500 gig drive, which you actually get about 420 of that, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then very quickly, because I decided I'm tired of just having shit laying around my place, I started doing digital downloads, and I filled up my drive pretty damn quick. So then I went out and I bought an external drive, which cost a little over $100, I believe. So, which I think it's 3 or 4 terabytes. But so if you look at that, it's like, well, now they're kind of giving you the option of spending $400 and you get that external drive with it. Kind of.
They have three, actually. There's 500 gig for 300, 1 terabyte for 350, and 2 terabytes for 400.
Okay.
Because a terabyte obviously costs $50. Whatever. So. I mean, really, if you think about it, like, how much more expensive is a 2 terabyte drive than a 500 terabyte drive? I mean, it's not a solid state, it's a spinner.
Yeah, it's negligible.
So basically, it's like just printing money.
Yeah.
But that's how things work. But it's reasonably priced. I only have 500 gigs on my PlayStation 4. It's only like half full. I don't know. Of course, I don't play that much.
Yeah, I've never filled that one up.
I haven't even downloaded the new Fallout expansion packs.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know. It's just so much shit.
So, I don't know, this Scorpio thing, I think, you know, Microsoft's like, well, we have to beat the PlayStation 4.5K, which apparently is coming out this year.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, is they did not have it at E3.
But they confirmed it.
Yeah, but they confirmed it, yeah, like the week before, I think. But then, yeah, supposedly. But then I've seen things where people are saying it might not come out till when Scorpio comes out and they'd go head-to-head.
And really, at that point, it's basically a new console generation.
Yeah. But it's like,
I thought it was supposed to be this year.
I don't know. I've seen both things, which just tells me nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. But
of course, you think they would have showed it at E3 if it was going to be this year.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know if they caught wind of what Microsoft had going on, and they're like, oh, we have to maybe recalculate a little bit.
Well, that was a rumor with the Nintendo NX. It got pushed back because of VR. They wanted to add VR because everything has to have that now.
Oh, yes.
It just seems like that's a train that everyone's jumping on, and by the time they jump on it, it's going to be at the end of the line.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not that optimistic about that stuff. Didn't you say you get to play one of the retail Vives and an Oculus?
Not a Vive, but I did get to play an Oculus because my manager actually bought one. It was pretty funny. He came
did
over.
You bring one... it into work, or?
Yeah, he came over one day and he was like all geeked up. He's like, "Oh, I got awesome news!" And I thought it was about something like work related.
I get a raise?
Yeah. And he was like, I was thinking it was going to be work-related, and he's like, oh, my Oculus shipped. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so then he got it, and I said something about it, you know, and he's like, oh, maybe I'll bring it in. So then he brought it in. Like, he actually, on the work calendar in the training room, he scheduled, like, Oculus Rift time for our department. And, you know, if anybody wanted to try it out, you know, they could come in and, you know, basically bring your lunch and all that, so I got to try it out, and I wasn't sold on it, but I kind of enjoyed it, and I was happy to find I didn't seem to get motion sickness from it.
That's why it requires such powerful hardware to keep the frame rates high enough.
Yeah, and so, because I got to play, there's like the bundle game, it's some sort of kind of like Mario-esque platformer thing.
Oh, Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, that's it. And then I played, there was like a space game where you fly like the spaceship.
Eve VR?
That sounds right. And you...
How did the resolution look?
It was okay, like for the space one.
Could you see the pixels?
Yes, yeah, you definitely could. It's weird, it doesn't feel like you're seeing pixels, but you're seeing something, you know, it's not completely smooth. Like, it's almost like when you look through a screen door.
Oh, yeah,
bit.
They probably have some sort of filter on it to obscure the pixels.
Yeah, so But it was pretty cool. Like, my favorite part of that was when you launch out of the ship, because it felt a lot like when you're watching Battlestar Galactica and they're, like, launching the ships.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a neat effect.
Launch all Vipers.
But it was, like, the... I was really surprised by, like, the platformer game, because it was kind of neat. Like, there'd be parts where you're sitting there with your perspective, and then there's, like, a little pond in front of you, and you could actually, like, lean forward and, like, lean your head, like, into the water, and then, like, it'd be kind of like you're dunking your head in it and looking around.
Could you see your reflection in the water?
No. I don't believe there was anything like that. I don't recall that.
And the Oculus has the camera that looks at you, right? They have to set up a camera?
Yes, yeah. And but it was kind of cool, you know, like you're sitting there and you're in this level, and I mean, obviously it's all 3D and whatever and everything, but you'd be like, you know, normally in one of these games, you know, you're looking ahead and the stuff's just kind of coming at you, but it was neat that you could like look to the right and you'd be like, oh, I can see like way out into the future of the level, like stuff like that. I don't know how much value it adds necessarily, but it was just kind of neat because it's like you turn your head and you're like, oh, there's all sorts of like shit over there that I normally wouldn't see.
How does it compare to the Sega CD?
A bit better image quality.
Okay.
So, I think like, again, like with a lot of the stuff, I think it's like the cartoony-ish stuff will work really well. The stuff where it probably tries to be more lifelike, that's where it's going to get tricky.
It requires a pretty beefy PC, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what he had for a video card, but he had a pretty decent rig.
That's one of the rumors with the PlayStation 4.5, is that the PSVR barely works on the PlayStation 4, which isn't surprising.
Yeah.
And you basically need a bump in the system to make it plausible.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to run out and buy one of these. But I was. It made me, you know, curious to see where it's going to be in a year or two. You know.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, is it really... Like, I play video games to, like, relax and have fun. And
yeah.
It's a cool tech demo, but is it really what people want to do? I guess that's the question.
And that was kind of my thing, too. You know, like, I got to sit there at lunch and play it for, like, 5 or 10 minutes at a shot. You know, it's like, a lot of times, well, shit, like, this morning, me and a buddy, we sat there and we played World of Warcraft for, like, 4 hours or whatever. You know, it's like, I don't know if I could do that for 4 hours. Although, at the same time, when I played that platformer, of course, I keep forgetting its
Lucky's
name.
Lucky's Tale
or whatever.
Clearly named after Palmer Lucky.
Oh, yes.
Aha!
Connection.
It's
so
ironic.
Oh, no.
That's my impression of the internet. Actually, it's not even a coincidence. It just is.
Yeah, it's just a thing. But I did think about, like, God, imagine what it would be like playing something like World of Warcraft, which doesn't have, like, ultra-realistic graphics, but it's, like, this cartoonish world. And, you know, this would be a way to, like, immerse yourself in it even more. Like, it'd be kind of cool, although I was like, you know, you'd probably get, like, epileptic seizures when you're in a raid and everybody's, like, casting their AoE abilities and shit, and you got, like, all this crap going on.
It seems like a cockpit game would work out well, because when you're sitting playing a video game, and in the game, you're also sitting in a cockpit.
Yep.
So there's nothing you have to do in the game that does not fit what you're doing in real life.
Yeah, like that Eve game worked well for that reason, because you're just sitting in a spaceship cockpit, and you can look around, you know, in the cabin, and it was kind of neat, like, you looked down, and you would see, obviously, it wasn't your legs, but you would see, like, your character's legs, like, in the chair, and if you moved them, you know, they would move and stuff, and...
We should make, like, a Star Fox ripoff in VR.
I'm sure they will.
We should do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I even got a name for it. It's called The Earth Dies Screaming. So it's like you're in Pluto, or it's like, you know, a research base formerly known as Pluto, and then Earth is under attack by aliens or something, and then you have to fly past every planet to get back to Earth. So it's basically a ripoff of Star Fox.
That makes sense.
Star Fox meets Gyrus in VR.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, I did see they have that Project Cars game for it. I was like, that's tempting, because... my boss hadn't bought that one yet, but he was like, yeah, I saw that, and he's like, I thought of you, and all that, and so if he eventually gets it, I might have to make him bring it in again, because that's one of those things I would, because I love driving games, and that could be something that could sell me on it. It's like, if I could play that and be able to go like on the Nürburgring Nordschleife track and be able to like look around.
And again, and, you're sitting in a car.
Yeah, it would be freaking awesome. So definitely intriguing. And yeah, like I say, I mean, I think, you know, this is the first generation, you know, just like these consoles. It's like a couple of years down the road, oh, here comes Rift 2.0 or whatever, Vive 2.0. You know, they're going to be constantly improving these things. It's going to keep getting better. And, you know, this is one where I'll probably wait a couple generations before I think about getting in.
Do you think the console manufacturers are wise to be jumping in as they seem to be?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems, you know, and to kind of belabor the point we've been making, it seems more suited to a PC, because it's like a PC, normally you're sitting at a desk playing it, you know, you're kind of like stationary. I mean, granted, console, you're sitting in a chair, but you've got a controller. And
well, the Vive, you can walk around, like you put these markers around a room and you can actually set up your play area. Like I have 6 square feet in which to play, and then in the game it'll actually render a border, so you can say, oh, you can walk this far, but don't walk any further than this, otherwise you're going to hit the wall or something.
See, that's kind of cool.
You can actually walk around with the HTC Vive.
Because that was one thing with the Rift. I was sitting at, like, a table,
mm-hmm.
and I had to be kind of conscious of that, like, to roll my chair back, because, like, when I was ducking my head down and stuff, I'm like, well, I don't want to, like, bash my head into the table. You know, so that was definitely something I thought about, but yeah, I don't know, like, consoles, I guess it's hard to say, because it's like, I don't, you know, I don't play a ton of console games anymore. I don't know how the kids really play them these days. You know, like, when we were younger, it was more of, like, you know, your buddies would come over and you'd play. I know now everything's online, so I think it's not so much that, but I don't know if, like, families, when they have a couple of kids, you know, if they sit there and play together. You know, this seems like it's not conducive to that, because only one person can play.
Well, of course, you know, you look at the average family now, they're sitting there in a room, but everyone's looking at their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it really that much different?
Yeah, so, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I get why they're doing it, because it seems like it's the next thing. You know, it's like how 3D was the next thing, you know, and it's like a lot of them don't really turn out to be anything, but every now and then there's the thing that does hit, and you don't want to miss the boat on the one that does hit.
So but I think motion controls turned out to be a fad.
Yep. But it's like, look what happened with that, though. It's like Nintendo was first to the party, and they reaped a hell of a lot of benefits before, you know, it turned out
to just
be a fad.
But then by the time Sony and Microsoft jumped on, nobody cared.
Yep.
I just think the same thing could happen with VR.
Which that ties into our E3 history.
Yes. So, yeah, we should probably close up this episode by giving you some E3 stories.
Because that was the reactionary E3.
Yes. So Jones and I visited E3 in 2010, and we got to see. That was when the Kinect was brand new, and we got to try it.
And the Move was new.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Kinect there?
Yeah, it was there. Remember?
Oh, that's right. We did the dance. Yeah, we were in the dance bubble thing.
So the way they
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the way they had Kinect set up at E3 is they had all these bubbles. Because if there were other things behind you, like people passing by, it would ruin the sensors. So basically they had to bubble you off.
Yeah.
So nothing could get in the way. But the other thing about E3, it's all about maintaining an illusion of mystery. So that's what happened with the Wii back in 2006. Nintendo arranged their booth in such a way to make the line longer, funneling people.
Yes.
And then we saw, 2010 was also when we saw the Nintendo 3DS.
Yep.
So that was the thing about E3. They don't know, you can't really see it when you watch the videos, but they definitely arrange things so that if you want to see something cool, you have to wait in a line.
Yes.
Because then they can show a picture of the line and be like, oh my God, look at everyone in line for the 3DS. Like, what was that? That was like an hour for that line?
It was quite a while, except we wrapped like way around. Like, you couldn't see jack shit.
Yeah,
because
we talked to the first bouncer.
Yeah,
and he's like, no, the line's over there. Remember, they look all like linebackers.
Oh,
they look
yeah.
like strip club bouncers. Nintendo's booth for the 3DS reveal was basically like a strip club.
Yes. It was elevated.
It was elevated literally and figuratively above a strip club.
Yes.
So they had these Yeah, guys that look like linebackers, but they were dressed super nice. They're dressed like in suits.
Yeah, like, but they were basically bouncers.
Yep, you got to go back there. And then there was one person walking around with a 3DS while you were in line, and they would show you a still photograph in 3D. Like, ooh, we will show you this one thing before you go up to the booth. So the booth was elevated. The reason for that was because they didn't want you to be able to see it until you waited in line to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something at this year's E3. I can't remember what it was, but something was either lower or higher. And they're like, oh, this is to improve the experience. And I saw that online. I'm like, no, that is so you have to wait in a line in order to do it.
Yep.
Because if you were able to just walk up to the demo and see it, you'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. And then you'd walk away.
Yep,
but exactly. If you have to wait in a line to see it, it creates hype. So once we waited for in the line for the Nintendo 3DS, then we got to go into it was more like a Hooters than a strip club.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a bunch of failed actresses sitting behind 3DSs. Basically.
Yeah, so all these like beautiful women, and they all acted like Hooters waitresses because like, hey, hon, you want to play this?
Yeah, it was weird.
They were very friendly and they're well dressed, but they're basically high end booth babes.
And there were probably what like 100 up there, maybe
a lot. Yeah,
yeah. There were a hell of a lot. I just remember the one that. You know, she's like, oh, where are you from? You know, and I told her I was from Wisconsin, and she's like, oh, did you bring any cheese for me? And I'm like,
yeah, right. It was very much like a Hooters.
Yeah,
waitress.
I was like, okay. It's like, I'm not going to give you a tip. So
right, but once you went up there, you were able to like, you know, there was, yeah, like 100 stations with 100 women. And they're all women.
Yep.
You know, there weren't any guys demonstrating. It was all women, all attractive women.
Mm-hmm.
This is Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you could, you know, there was a lot of cool games. Like, I played a 3D version of Mega Man 2, and I think they had Kid Icarus or Zelda. And
yeah, I can't remember what the hell I played.
And then I think you could go up there for about 30 minutes, or what was it? There was a certain amount of time.
Yeah, you were definitely timed. I don't know if you got a full 30.
Yeah.
It might have been, like, 10 or 15.
And then, basically, it's like, and then they shuffle everyone out, and they shuffle the next group in.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, basically, yeah, it's just like, almost like a tour going through. It's like, okay, on to the next attraction, and all those people move on, and then here comes the next wave in, basically.
Yeah. Also, there's only one bar at E3. There's one island at which you can buy booze, which is, well, after going to that Freescale Semiconductor convention last year, everything else seems like a pale imitation.
Whatever the thing, too, with E3, because, like, the Move was there.
Yep. The Kinect.
I liked the Sony area. Like, just the way the Sony area was, like, very open. I remember, like, the one thing that had a lot.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot easier to see the Move. Like, they were a lot more open.
Yeah,
about,
you
like,
could just kind of walk up
there
and
it is.
Grab it and away you
and
went.
And people weren't as excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coincidence?
And I remember the one thing. There were probably a couple of things that had lines, but the one I remember for Sony that had lines was, I think they had Gran Turismo 4 Prologue there. And they were doing, was it like 3D? Was that a thing at that time too? I can't remember if that was too early for that. There was something special about that game. Like, I can't remember if there was like a 3D.
No, yeah, you're right. It was 3D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, because we did finally
it was a
get
3D PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah. And yeah, so. But I remember like the PS4 area, like the Move area was kind of nice too. It was like, I mean, obviously for what was in there, but it was more dimly lit. I don't know. I just had like, I liked the vibe of their area better.
It was, they simulated living rooms.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Cause they had couches and stuff and yeah. Yeah. Whereas like the Kinect, yeah, you went into like those bubbles. And I remember we did like, they had the, whatever the
Kinect Adventures.
Olympic type game or whatever the hell. Yeah. And then they had the dance game, too, like the one that Harmonix
made. Oh, Dance Central?
Yeah.
That had quite a line, too.
Yeah, that thing was, like, really popular, like, because they had these bubbles, like, you were in this bubble, and like, so people could stand outside the bubble
but
and
they
watch
couldn't
the
take
people
part.
Inside.
Yeah.
And so there were always people, like, around the Dance Central ones. And because I remember when we went there, I'm like, okay, that Dance Central game's going to sell. I don't know about any of this other shit, but that's going to sell. And I
so
think
what
it did
was
all
the
right.
most surprising thing for you about E3? Like, what was against your expectations, just as far as what it was or how it worked?
Probably that you couldn't play everything that
oh,
was
yeah,
there.
You don't play very many games, really.
Yeah, and it was like, because like Fallout 3 New Vegas, or Fallout New Vegas.
That came out that year.
That was there, but it was like closed off. Like you had to basically
Bethesda's really stingy about that. They make you wait more than anything.
And I think you had to be pressed. Like we couldn't go in.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucked because that was one of the things where I'm like, oh, cool. You know, we can check out the new Fallout game. Well, nope, I guess we can't.
But when I went in 2013, I had a press pass.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So then you were able to check out more stuff.
Oh, that was when I got that free CPU. That was the best swag I ever got. A free AMD APU. I actually built a computer out of it at home. It's the one I have my Wacom tablet on.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. See, there's a huge line for Battlefield 3 or 4. Four.
That was probably four at that point, yeah.
But we lucked out because it was like, oh, you're Ben Heck, and you have a press pass. Come on in. It's like, woohoo.
It's like, sweet.
Yeah. What did they? Oh, yeah. I think Wolfenstein, The New Order, was going to be a new game at that time. Or maybe it was. Yeah, that's right. And there was a big line for the Bethesda room, and the Bethesda room was like completely closed off.
Oh, yeah.
So they had like The New Order and Stick of Truth. But you had to wait in a big line and have a press pass. So there's some stuff that's harder than others. Oh, yeah. And then we went to one. I think it was the Dead Rising 3. We waited for like an hour in that line, and all it was a demo. We didn't get to play it.
Oh,
that was disappointing. Yeah. Also, of the 16 people I've ever met with Windows Phone, like two of them were at that E3, and they were both Microsoft employees.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I did see someone with a Windows phone in Germany. However, I did not talk to them, so it does not count.
Oh, okay.
But the official number is still at 16.
I'm sure Satya Nadella will be happy to hear that.
Well, E3 smells like carpet because there's like thousands upon thousands of square feet of new carpet.
Yep.
There's also a lot of like small booths and like kind of smaller companies. You never see it reported on, but that's probably about half the floor area is small booths.
Yeah, that was probably one of the bigger surprises. Is there's a lot of kind of just this, I don't know, experimental stuff. Like there was that company or dude, whatever, that had that big ball thing that
You could go inside of it and walk around in VR.
Because it was like a VR thing. And so you just walked inside this ball so you didn't have to worry about running into walls and shit. And, But it's like, yeah, am I going to put a big ball in my house? Probably not. But.
And then after E3 is over, you cannot find a place to sit and eat within like a 30-mile radius. Because like 50,000 people stream out. Oh, remember the, wasn't it the, oh God, the Lakers won the championship when we were there?
And they were playing the Celtics that year.
Yeah, in 2010.
Because, yeah, I remember like.
And there was cars set on fire, but we got out of there in time.
Yeah, because I remember there were a couple of the nights when we were there, they were playing home games, and so you could see them start, because it was like right across the street
Staples
from the Staples
Arena.
Center, and you'd see them starting to shut down the street, and we always were like we had a hotel like in whatever, Santa Monica.
Yeah, we were away from the thing.
And so we just went and sat in the bar at the end of the Santa Monica Pier every night, had dinner, and
they had that 40-ounce margarita, that was good.
That place was awesome. Because, it was like every night, that's all we did. We just went back there. And
I don't think I've been there since. I've actually been to that place like three times. It's called Maria Saul's.
Yes.
Yes. And they've got that hole in the floor.
Yeah.
You can like look at the water because it's out in the pier.
Yeah.
And it's the like best sunsets in the world.
And then I remember, too, like we sat outside a couple of the nights and it got really cold because it's on the ocean, and so they actually had like heaters and stuff out there. So it's like, you're out there in June, but you've got heaters turned on. So
I mean, we were a ways, it was like an hour commute each way because Los Angeles
wasn't too bad really, but,
but it was a nice place to stay because it was within walking distance of the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah,
so that was fun. So when I went in 2013, I just stayed at like, God, I think it was like a Super 8 or a Motel 6.
Yeah, like pretty close.
Yeah, I was just talking to my friend who lived in LA, and I'm like, just recommend a place where I won't get shot. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know, LA's not that scary.
No.
But yeah, I mean, E3 is pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of changed, like everyone has, like EA had their own press conference, and Nintendo kind of pulled out a little bit. And yeah, maybe there's really no need for E3 because, like, with the internet now, everything's already spoiled before E3 even happens.
Well, that's like, too, you wonder its
usefulness maybe, but it is cool.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, I don't know, I wonder if it'll kind of go the way of some of these other things, like Comic-Con's kind of getting that way. Like, I mean, there's still a lot of big stuff for, like, movies announced there, but a lot of them are starting to have their own events. Like, Disney's got their own thing they do every 2 years.
D23.
Yeah, and so, like I think this year, like, Marvel's not going to be at Comic-Con.
I think you're right.
And last year, I think, like, Fox or somebody. No, Fox was there, but somebody didn't show up.
Maybe they just get too stuffed.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on.
Like, I've also been to PAX. I've been to PAX West, and it was like E3 plus the public.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Summerfest?
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine a convention that was like Summerfest.
Oh God.
It's insane. So it's just like, it's too nuts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like E3. Well, you've been to E3. E3 is, you know, it's pretty cool. It's not too bad. But Imagine that if it was open to the public, and that's PAX.
Wow.
I mean, it's nuts, but I think if you're over, like, 30, it's, like, one of those things, like, if you're over 30, you probably don't want to go.
Yeah, you wouldn't be very enthusiastic, because...
Oh, my God. It was nuts, and then, yeah, I think I had, like, 3 or 4 blisters. I remember I had, like, I'd gotten a pin from somebody, and I got back to the hotel, and I had to use my pin to pop blisters, because that was a rough show.
Because, yeah, that's like I've contemplated going to Comic-Con just to do it. It's probably one of those things where I should just go just to do it.
In San Diego?
Yeah. Because we went to the Chicago one the first year they did it, which I guess that's kind of turning into a bit of a thing anymore. But yeah, it's like I kind of get the impression that's kind of how Comic-Con is, too. Like, it's just kind of like too packed, like too much going on. Like, you read about people...
There's an even bigger convention, Dragon Con.
That's bigger?
That's actually the biggest convention of all.
Really?
It's like a D&D geek convention. That's in Atlanta, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. Because, I mean, you hear about people, like, they go to Comic-Con, and then they stand in line for an hour and a half or whatever, waiting for some seminar. And I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, that happens at PAX, too.
Yeah, so.
I mean, if you think about it, I don't know. Like, at least for myself, I go to a lot of conventions. And it's kind of like people who review games. Like, if you review games for a living, like, if you have to beat and play and review a game every 2 weeks, if the game is, like, a bunch of fetch quests, you're going to rip on it for that because the game is taking up your time. Likewise, if you're going to a lot of conventions and you're like, oh, God, I got to wait for this. Now I got to wait for this.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, ugh. Now, but if it's like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to Comic-Con. This is the one chance I get to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Then you're like, I'm going to wait in a line to, like, meet William Shatner or whatever.
Yeah, it's worth it to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but as someone, well, I'm thankfully, I don't have to travel anywhere for, like, 2 months, I think.
Oh, wow.
This is awesome. But so for me, it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah, because you do it all the time. Yeah, It's just like me. I don't want to work on somebody's computer when I get home because I do that all day. So it's like...
Exactly.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, you think about E3 and stuff and, like, if it'll go that way, you know, like, will Microsoft eventually just say, fuck it?
Well, E3 did go away for a couple years.
Yeah, that's true. Because, I mean, you look at something like Blizzard. They already have their own thing. They do BlizzCon. They've been doing it for years. You know, so it's like, well, Microsoft eventually just say, you know what, we're ready to announce this thing when we're ready to announce it, and we're just going to do our own show. You know, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. So instead of having console exclusives, you have convention exclusives.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's nice because, you know, all the press can come there at one time. And, like, it's good for the press. It's more efficient than if, you know, Microsoft has their thing early June, Sony has their thing in July, or, you know, whatever, like, if they broke them up.
Oh, something else I noticed about E3, compared to other conventions, people definitely care where you're from. So when you talk to someone, they'll immediately look at your chest. And I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to be a woman. Because they're like, is this person worth talking to? Who are they with? Oh, what the fuck is the Ben Heck show? Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Because, yeah, I've gone to things for, like, IT and stuff, you know, and so you see what companies and, yeah, if you know the company they're from, you're a little more engaged. I mean, that's just how it works, so.
Yep. It'd be cool, like, if Google Glass, not Google Glass,
Microsoft
HoloLens, like, if that ever got to the point where it could fit into your glasses, that's what I would want for AR. And my glasses could, I could be at a convention and someone's like, hey, and my glasses could be like, okay, you met this person 2 years ago. This is their name. This is what they do.
Yep.
You know, like Michael Scott's they've cards. Green means go ahead and don't say it.
Yeah, they've got a wife and three kids, whatever, you know, like all that stuff. And
yeah.
Yep.
Or just their name, because I catch myself doing that at shows. It's like I'll be talking to someone and it's like looking at a woman's butt. But, like, as soon as their eyes are nowhere near yours, then you look down and double-check their name on their tag.
Oh, yeah. I'm horrible with people's names.
So it's, like, it's rude to not know their name, so you have to pretend that you didn't just check and look at their tag.
Yep. Yeah, it's like that Mad Men episode when they have dinner at Pete's place and nobody can remember Ken Cosgrove's wife's name. And so they're all sitting there, like, through the dinner, like... And there's, like, these moments where it would have made sense for Ken to, like, say her name, but he doesn't. And you can just tell, like, everybody there is kind of, like, waiting for it to happen. And then at some point it finally gets said, and then Don's wife or whatever is like, oh, yes, Karen! and then she's like, yes.
Ken Cosgrove, you mean L.A. Noir-y?
Yes. But yeah, it's very, I'm always terrible, like, you know, people will introduce themselves and yet you're like, oh yes, you know, blah, 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 you know, hey, how you doing? And then, but it's like, it's just gone. Like, you just don't think to remember it necessarily. And it sucks because it's like, it's not like you're thinking less of the person. You're just more interested in what they have to say than logging that information about them.
Yeah, I've had like hour-long conversations with people at shows and I don't know their name, but it's not really important.
Yeah.
Until like you have to remember their name and then it is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like if you're going to potentially connect with that person again, then it has value. But if they're a single-serving person, not so much. So.
Oh, single-serving person. I like that. How's that working out for you, the humor? All right, well, I think we've talked about E3 and other random things enough for one episode.
We didn't talk about Uncharted 4, though.
Oh. Well, I just kind of thought it was disappointing.
Mm. It's kind of natural, I guess, something like that. You know, it took them a long time. 2 Tomb Raiders came out since 3.
Yeah.
And
I didn't play Rise of the Tomb Raider, but I definitely enjoyed the Tomb Raider reboot more than Uncharted 4.
You should check out Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's a good time.
Oh, maybe I'll buy it on Steam.
There you go. But, yeah, to me it was very reminiscent. I haven't played Uncharted 4, but it's like, in the past I would have been totally amped up for that game, and I haven't played it yet, and I don't know when I will. I'm just not excited about it. It's like they missed their window. It's just like when Gran Turismo took forever to bring out their new version, and then Forza swept in and filled that void. Tomb Raider basically did the same thing to Uncharted in this case. So.
Oh, I could buy the Windows platform version of Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's only $60.
You could be the 30,001st person to do that.
I heard it's like doesn't work as well. I mean, I don't think...
I would buy it on...
Just Steam.
Well, I would buy it on console, personally.
Really? But I can't. I don't have an Xbox One.
Wait a month and you will, apparently. Or 2 months, whenever the Slim comes out.
But look, I can install this game on up to 10 Windows 10 devices. That's confusing.
So, did you play the first Tomb Raider on
PC? I did.
On PC, though?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And with a controller.
Because
it turns out you can plug controllers into your computer.
But then you're like sitting at your desk.
Oh yeah, I guess I could
talk
about why I felt the Tomb Raider reboot was better than Uncharted 4.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I liked it better. Like in Uncharted 4, whenever you miss a jump or you die, you just die. And then Nathan Drake falls over with this kind of crappy ragdoll.
Mm.
You know, they have all this motion capture, but when Nathan Drake dies, it's a crappy ragdoll. And then he falls into a pit, and he ragdolls and, like, catches on a ledge and is like, Nate! And the screen goes black and white. Now, when Laura Croft died, it was bloody and horrific.
Yes.
So it felt like it was punishing you for failing. You know, it's like, oh, look, you let this young woman get skewered by a spike or something.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, there was a lot more creativity put into it. That was something I really liked about Dead Space. It's like there was a lot of really cool environmental ways to die that they actually took the time to, you know, to animate.
Yeah, to utilize, yep.
Yeah, so like in the quick time events, it's like, oh, I just got crushed by a rock, or I got smushed, or I got torn in half, and it was very violent.
Oh, yeah.
Also, she had a bow and arrow, so you could, there's a lot of stealth sections in Uncharted, but as soon as one person sees you, everybody knows where you are, and they start shooting at you, and you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
But, and you can do a silent takedown, so you can go up to someone, you can like break their neck, but there's no silent ranged weapon, whereas Tomb Raider, she has a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So I actually really wish there would have been a bow and arrow in Uncharted, but I'm sure they didn't have one. Even though every video game is a bow and arrow now, they realize, well, we already ripped off the wall pike mechanic from Tomb Raider, so we probably shouldn't rip off the bow and arrow. So I would have liked more stealth, because in Tomb Raider, maybe it's because, you know, she's like a young woman who's like small. Like if you got into a fight with somebody, you usually lost.
Yeah,
you know, the big mercenary usually killed the young woman.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to. You wanted to stay at a distance. You wanted to pick them off. But it felt more realistic that way, you know?
I liked it, too, in that game. Like you were saying, like, basically if one person knew you were there, like everybody did. Like,
yeah.
Tomb Raider didn't have that either. It was kind of like the people in the area would be alerted to your presence, and you could potentially fight your way out of it and then go back into hiding again before, like, this patrol guy comes through or whatever. Like, you know, there's just a lot of good stuff, and there was, like, a urgency to that that I enjoyed, because it's like, oh, shit, I know that guy's coming back. I gotta take this guy out now, and, you know, blah, 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 and shit, he just notified his friend, whatever. So
in Uncharted 4, yeah, as soon as you were spotted, everyone whips around instantly, like they have aimbots,
okay,
and start shooting, and you pretty much die, and it kind of...
Yeah.
It makes the stealth sections very binary. Like, either you stealth your way through it. Basically, what you do, you have to stealth your way and, like, break enough people's necks. So when you do eventually get spotted, you have a chance of taking the people down. And I just did not enjoy it as much as Tomb Raider. And, like, Tomb Raider had that thing where she would jump, and there are certain sections of wall where she could stick her axe into.
Yeah.
Uncharted takes that exact same mechanic. He, like, finds a pike or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, now you can jump and get one shot into this porous rock. So they take an exact mechanic. And then there's so much story stuff in Uncharted. Like, they clearly want to make movies instead of video games.
Yeah.
But then the story is really unsatisfying. There's like a mercenary woman who is really tough, and you have to fight her, and she always beats you. And she's a recurring character, but then at the end, she just disappears, basically. There's no payoff. Like, the evil rich guy, like, who pays her, slaps her, and like, oh, well, she's going to obviously turn on this guy. No. Nobody dies. It's a thieves' end.
And this is the last game.
This is the last game. It's called a thieves' end. You'd think that, like, oh, I'm sorry, a thief's end. You'd think someone would die.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be some
Your
finality.
Long-lost brother would die. Nope, nobody dies.
Hmm.
I don't know. It was like, they had a lot of setup, but none of the payoff that you would expect.
I don't know.
I was fairly disappointed with it. I mean, it, mechanically as a game, it was fine, but story-wise, like, compared to, like, 2, I mean, it was...
Do you think it felt, like, rushed at all or anything? Like,
well, they've been working on it for 4 years.
Yeah, but I don't know if, you know, like, did they maybe just at a certain point say, okay, we have to set a date, and they kind of rush to it? Like, is there any aspect
I don't know
of
if
that
it,
to it?
No, I mean, it was all, like, technically really polished. You know what, actually, though, there weren't any, like, environmental altering...
You have to, like, disturb the environment in some way.
Yeah,
to...
there was a lot of things in, like, Uncharted 2 and 3, especially 2, where, like, you were on a train. You're like, oh, now the environment is a train, and you're interacting on this environment that's moving in another environment.
Yeah.
Or, like, the building that falls over.
Collapsing with the helicopter outside.
Or then there's, like, pieces, when you're in the Lost City, pieces of it are sliding around, and you're shooting people on it. I think that happens in Part 3 as well. And there's really none of that. Like, the only thing that's like that in Part 4 is, like, you're in a tower and the tower falls over, and then you climb up and you have to run across the tower before it breaks or something. Or Part 3, remember? Did you play Part 3?
I played a good chunk of it. I never finished it.
Did you get to the
though.
Cruise ship section?
Yes, yeah.
So there's
it's sinking.
Yeah, it's a pirate cruise ship. it tips over. So it's going one direction, then it tips over another direction. Like, you know, it keeps, the environment keeps changing and the action's going on, and nothing like that happens in part four.
Huh.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know if that means it was rushed. I mean, they were changing technology, but again, they had 4 years.
Maybe they just ran out of ideas. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought three was kind of a letdown. Like, maybe they should have just let it go.
Yeah. Because, yeah, like I say, like, I love Uncharted 2. That game was so good. And three, I didn't even finish it.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, someday I probably will.
Something else I didn't like about it, at almost all times in the game, you have a sidekick character. You're never by yourself. I think, no joke, probably like 10% of the game, you're like by yourself. It's either your brother or Sully or, of course, your wife
woman.
Shows up. It's like, I'm back. I have no way of knowing this is actually where you went, but I found you. Now I'm going to help you.
Yeah, that is one good thing in Tomb Raider is you kind of have more of that feeling of isolation in it a lot. I mean, there's parts where she has, you know, compatriots or whatever, but it's like most of the time she's kind of out there going it alone.
There's a lot of sections in Uncharted 4 where it's like, oh, that wall is slightly too high, so you have to push a crate over so your companion can jump on the crate, then jump up, and then grab your hand and help you up. It's like they're putting these artificial barriers to the levels just to justify the fact that there's a companion with you. And I think the main reason they have the companion with you all the time is because stories. We just have to have all the story. And I'd rather play the game. Like, basically, you climb. There's a ton of climbing. Like, it seems like way more climbing than other games. You're climbing. You get to a shootout arena. Then you climb. And I don't know. I enjoyed Tomb Raider more.
Yeah.
It's like the ripoff was better than the original. So that's why I kind of want to play Tomb Raider Rise of.
Yeah, you should play it. I mean, I don't think it, you know, set the world on fire. You know, like, it wasn't like some massive leap from the first game like Uncharted 2 was to the first Uncharted.
But also, Uncharted didn't have any upgrade system. You know, like in Tomb Raider, you can upgrade your character.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, oh, I have arrows, now I have fire arrows, and the fire arrow can do this. It's like, there's none of that. It's like, there's a gun, here's another gun, here's a grenade.
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like when you talked about, I think way back when, with like Fallout New Vegas, how it's basically like more of Fallout 3. That's basically what like Rise of the Tomb Raider is. It's more of Tomb Raider. And it's
I enjoyed the mechanics in that game better than Uncharted, so.
And there's, you know, there's little tweaks they made and things that they did, you know, which is good. But I mean, it's, you know, it's just kind of that game again.
You know, something else about Uncharted that would be better, it needs kind of like the Indiana Jones thing. So it's more like Last Crusade than Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because a lot of the action in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was like they weren't after a city or a location, they're after the Ark of the Covenant, which you could move around, you know? So you could have that awesome truck chase. But when everything is just like we're going to the city, like you really can't, it doesn't really give you very many excuses to have like a in-motion chase.
Yeah.
Whereas in Uncharted 2, they're like, oh, a train full of mercenaries headed toward a lost city. That sequence was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, here's a tank, which gets used later.
Yes.
Here's a helicopter, which gets used later. And yeah, it reminded me of like Atlantis, the Lost Empire, the Disney movie. It's like this quest into the unknown with all these mercenaries, and they've got all this stuff. But then they lose more and more things along the way until it's just like mano-a-mano fight. And that's what I liked. It felt more like an adventure series instead of like the later games where it's just like random crap happening. Like, oh, now we have this tank. Now we have this Jeep. It's like, where's this all coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the thing about Raiders of the Lost Ark? It was quite illuminating, where basically Indiana Jones is inconsequential to the plot of the film.
Yes. I have heard that, and it's completely true.
It's very true, because it's like, you know, the Nazis want to get the Ark of the Covenant and open it up and everything, and they do all of that. You know, it's like Indiana Jones does not stop that from happening.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there tied to a pole at the end.
Yeah, so
it would have still gone to that island anyway, because he gets it, but then they get it back.
Yep,
but it's still awesome.
Yeah, it's still great, but it's kind of funny when you think about it. It's like, yeah, he is completely inconsequential.
Well, think about every Mad Max movie; he's inconsequential to the plot.
Yeah, pretty close. So yeah.
He just goes meh, meh, meh.
I wondered what would break first. Indiana Jones, your spirit or your body?
Well, his body's got to break eventually. I guess we'll find out in the fifth one.
You make movies like a younger man. Victory has defeated you.
Obviously, everyone wanted to hear my impression of Bane.
Well, of course.
You know, if you think about it, Bane in Batman and Robin was closer to the comics.
Yes, to some extent.
Bomb.
I think he was more verbose than just saying bomb over and over. But
no, he also said, monkey, work. Well, now that I explained Uncharted versus Tomb Raider, shall we wrap it up?
Sure.
So yeah, give Tomb Raider a chance, because it's pretty good.
Yes.
And I think Uncharted is probably a bit overrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Even as a story, I was like, well, that's unsatisfying. I don't care about Nate escaping a school of nuns. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. Yeah, I just don't care.
Yeah. So if you want to make movies, make movies.
Yeah. All right. Well, that has been the BenHeck.com podcast. Please leave all of your hate for our opinion on Uncharted 4 below, and we'll talk to you next month.
Adios.